welcome to CAS National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of CAS National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And CAS National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
Today, our scripture reading is found in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 11, which says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. How many people in life would actually die for you, would actually be so concerned about you and about your eternal destiny that they would actually die for you? The Lord Jesus Christ loves us and cares for us. And he proved it by coming to earth and going to the cross and dying in our place. He paid for our sins. He made a payment that we could not make. You can't pay off your own sin. There's no way to do it. You could try to do works for a million years to pay off even one sin, and you couldn't do it because you offended a holy, righteous, pure, perfect God. And the only way to come into his presence is through a sacrifice which was made by the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he hung on the cross between heaven and earth. And he paid for your sin and my sin in his own body as he hung on that tree. And so, when we ask him to come into our life, he forgives us our sins. And he allows us to come into his presence. He allows us to pray and have our prayers answered. What a great God, what a great Savior we have, the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go. For Mission Moments this broadcast, I would like to share a report from a young Canadian girl from the Western Province. This young lady has determined that the Lord is calling her to serve in the Middle East and is now in language school in that region. I cannot speak of her name or the cities for security reasons. In a recent letter to the mission office, she begins by saying, the Middle East has great challenges as always when working in evangelism in the 1040 window of silence. Firstly, in this region, it often takes 150 meaningful conversations with a seeker for them to turn and find the way. When she arrived in the country, although she is a Canadian, they shared that they were like-minded and had the same goals when she moved into the apartment with her new European roommate. Her new friend's visa was denied in another Middle Eastern country. The author of our letter continued her language classes at a school where she met a local teacher with a curious mind who began to become a good friend. We'll call the new friend Rebecca, who had been struggling with her thoughts and was unable to sleep due to dreams and nightmares. She soon realized that this Canadian young lady was someone she could confide in. Our young lady realized the backstory to Rebecca is that 2 years prior, she had begun to study the Word, but for a different reason. Rebecca was helping a national friend who wanted to date a girl who followed Christ. This girl was not open to dating a guy from a non-Christian religion. So the young man was studying the Word to use this text to change her mind. He was unsuccessful, although it did start the ball rolling for Rebecca to start serious investigations of what she was reading in the Word. That is when the dreams began at a time that coincided with our visiting Canadian. As trust was built, our Canadian decided to invite Rebecca, her language school teacher, to study the word away from the prying eyes and listening ears of language school. This turned into a regular late-night meeting to research and discuss what they were reading. Rebecca had many questions and doubts about her current belief system and fears about the future. Rebecca was living with her relatives here within the community. In this culture, you must foster friendship to be in the lives of people in a place where sharing is high risk. It is good to start with a friendship and build deeper conversations from here. Eventually, Rebecca had a dream. The man who appeared in the dream asked her why she was resisting his offer of an eternal life. She had had similar dreams, but this time her heart was ready. She shared with the Canadian missionary and said she wanted to accept Christ. There was no turning back. Surely there was a celebration in heaven. A few weeks later, one of our local missionary leaders, who previously followed the lies of the false belief system but is now a believer in the truth, agreed to take her swimming, baptism in her new belief. Through many more events, Rachel is now living together with believers, and they are looking for someone else to share the extra room in their apartment. Our Canadian young lady shared, "I was reading my Bible early in the morning when Rebecca came in the room and saw me on the couch. A big smile spread across her face as she looked at me. She saw that I was studying and writing my notes." Rebecca said, "I can't believe we can do that here. I can't believe we can read the Word and talk to our Father. We can journal, and it's okay." Our young lady from the West reminds us how we are so blessed to be able to read our Bibles and still have much freedom. Let us not take for granted the freedom that we have in our homes. We hope you enjoyed seeing this little window of an experience of a North American missionary stepping into a culture with many restrictions in their service to God. Pray for this young lady and all those who have become those who go and to serve for the Lord in a faraway place. Thank you for listening to this story today. Understand and pray for those who have responded to the Lord's calling for foreign missions. This month, we are offering a small book by Harvest Pocketbooks, written by Amir Sarfati. It is titled, "Jesus is Coming Any Day Now." Amir Sarfati is a native Israeli and former major in the Israel Defense Forces. He is the founder and president of the Behold Israel, a nonprofit ministry that provides Bible teaching through tours, conferences, and social media. It also provides unique access to news and information about Israel from a biblical and prophetic standpoint. Amir is married and has four children and resides in northern Israel. Any Day Now is an excerpt from Amir Sarfati's book, The Day Approaching. As you read, you'll learn about the plans God has for the world, Israel, and the church. Signs around us, all pointing to Christ's imminent return, and the Holy Spirit is doing incredible work in the world right now, wonders that await every Christian in Jesus' kingdom. To receive your copy of this book, write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 12N10, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7S7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour, where we wish to bless your life with these messages. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners.
So I will.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is a continuing study. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today will be our last of six messages on the subject of heaven. We'd like to conclude this series by thinking about what it will be like to live in heaven. It will be completely different from the life we are living here on earth. First of all, we will lose all traces of being sinful people. No one will be there who is not absolutely perfect. There are four verses in Revelation chapters 6 and 7 that speak of those in heaven all having and wearing white robes, which are the symbol of purity, holiness, and perfection. We also know that apart from holiness, no one will see the Lord. Heaven is gained exclusively because at the point of salvation, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us or credited to our account. Our own personal righteousness or good works in no way grants us entrance into heaven. The soul of the believer at the point of death instantly goes to heaven and awaits the resurrection of the body. There's no such thing as soul sleep or a place of waiting. This is clarified by the story Jesus told in Luke 16. There were two men, one who was very wealthy and a poor beggar named Lazarus, who would eat the crumbs that fell off the table of the rich man. Both of them died. The man who had everything he wanted in life was in torments and agonizing pain. The poor man was comforted and was in a place of peace and tranquility. It was so bad that the former rich man begged for Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch the tip of his tongue with it. Here we see the contrast between heaven and hell. In our heavenly home, we will know God's comfort like we will never experience it in this life. The next thing we should note about heaven is that there will be perfect love. 1 Corinthians 13 is the great love chapter in the Bible. It concludes in verse 13 by saying, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Why is love the greatest? When we get to our eternal home, there will no longer be a need for faith and hope. Faith will be changed to reality, and all we have hoped for will be real. So this proves that hope is the greatest of them all, for we will know a love there far beyond any we've ever known here in this life. We will have a glorified body in heaven. Heaven is a real place, and eternal life is not just a state of mind. An honest approach to Scripture does not allow bodies to be spiritualized or allegorized. We will have real bodies, just like the resurrection body of Jesus. In Luke 24, Jesus appeared to some disciples on the Emmaus Road. There was no doubt in their mind that he was real, for he carried on a normal conversation with them. We also know that Jesus ate fish with his disciples after his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul gives a list of those who saw him in his resurrection body. He also makes it clear that over 500 people saw him at one time, most of whom were still alive. The idea is that if you don't believe me, go ask them about it. There's an absolute scriptural necessity for us to receive a resurrection body to enter our heavenly home. God made man body and soul. Heaven is a place of perfection. We know that we're a sinful people, far from being perfect. Our ultimate perfection demands that both body and soul be renewed. Our soul is saved at the point of salvation, but our bodies are still corrupt. With the creation of the new heaven and the new earth, it requires that we be given new bodies, resurrected ones. Let's talk about death for a moment. Death is the separation of the body and soul. For a person who by faith has received Christ at the point of death, his soul goes to be with the Lord. His body goes into the grave. They're separated until the resurrection. This is clarified in John 5:28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. At a future day, there will be a resurrection when the bodies will join the souls. Unbelievers will be raised, and their bodies and souls will be cast into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment. Those who have trusted Christ as their Savior will not fear this judgment. We await the redemption of our bodies. The next thing we should consider is, what will our resurrection bodies be like? 1 John 3:2 gives us our first clue. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So far, we've learned that we have the same qualities as erected Jesus. Our bodies will not be an apparition or ghost-like. They will look human in every regard, just as Jesus did. Those who saw him never questioned his humanity, as he ate real food and talked with people. However, he could appear out of nowhere. We also know that he ascended into heaven in a bodily form. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 17 describes the resurrection of our bodies. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who are in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Here we learn that the living and the dead believers will have their bodies changed and made new. The doctrine of the bodily resurrection is essential to the Christian message. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear how essential the resurrection of the body is in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 20. Now, if Christ be preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ Jesus have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Later in this same chapter, Paul uses several illustrations to clarify his position concerning this matter of a resurrection body. He gives us an illustration of a farmer who plants a seed in the ground. That soon dies. But in the process of fermentation and decomposition, it produces new life. What it produces is so much more glorious than what that original seed was. Similarly, when the believer dies and is put in the grave, it decomposes. However, a resurrection will bear a resemblance to our old body, but like the seed that was planted, this resurrection body will be far more glorious than the one we have now. We will be ourselves, but then perfect without any flaws. A scoffer might ask the question, how are the dead raised up? He would argue that it's absurd to think that normal human flesh is fit for heaven. Paul, on the other hand, holds that it is absurd to think of the resurrection body being normal human flesh. Resurrection flesh is not the same. That body will be of a far different variety of flesh than what we have now. It will be human flesh, but perfect, without any flaws. Furthermore, we cannot limit what God can do. Since God created everything from the smallest insect to the massive stellar system, he can make any kind of body he desires. Like a seed, the body is sown and raised up far more glorious than before. The graveyards of men are the seed plants of resurrection. Yet with all this promised, how easy it is for us to set our affections on fleeting earthly things that will never satisfy. There are two more points that should be made about our eternal home. The first one is that there will be perfect relationships there. This is an area most Christians are concerned about. They ask, will I know my loved ones? They often say, I do not want to lose the relationship I have with my wife. Paul answers these things in 1 Corinthians 7:29-31. He says that marriage, weeping, earthly rejoicing, and ownership will all pass away. For many, this can be very discouraging. We know that the Bible holds marriage as one of the greatest gifts in this life. In heaven, though, you will enjoy eternal companionship that is far more perfect than here. We will know each other there. Will we know each other there? Yes. In the Old Testament, when a believer died, it was said he was gathered to his people. When the son of David and Bathsheba died, David said he would go to that child. Moses and Elijah were both recognized at the transfiguration of Jesus. We will be reunited with family and friends, and it will be one great loving family. Heaven will seem like home, far more than the dearest spot on earth to us. The dearest spot on earth to me is a cow pasture just outside of Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. It is the place where on a Saturday night many years ago, I received Christ as my Savior. Finally, heaven will be a place of unbroken fellowship with God. The most wonderful thing about heaven will be that unbroken fellowship with Him. The beloved Apostle John expresses it so well in Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This is totally impossible if we're tainted with sin. Mankind is separated from God because of sin and cannot even come into the presence of God. Even in the Old Testament, there was that veil in the tabernacle and later in the temple that separated God from man. So how is it possible for man to live eternally in heaven, face to face with God? The answer is the incarnation. The incarnation is when God became flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to live a perfect, sinless life, to redeem us and take us to heaven. The penalty for sin is death. and it is a debt we cannot pay because of our sin. Only one without sin could pay that debt. When Jesus went to the cross, he bore our sins in his body, and with his death there, he paid the penalty for our sins. He became our substitute there. The barrier from God was broken down. It is only when we recognize our sinfulness and by faith receive Christ as our Savior that our sins are forgiven and we receive that greatest gift of all, eternal life. That gift guarantees eternal life in heaven with God. That is why the dearest place on earth to me is that cow pasture in Pennsylvania, where I received the gift of eternal life and a home in heaven. Where is that dearest place on earth for you? Perhaps it could be right where you are now, listening to the radio. You can tell God you're a sinner and realize that Christ paid the price for your sins, and ask the Lord to come into your heart and save you. If you've never done that, I would plead for you to do it right now. If you do this, someday I'll meet you in heaven in the very presence of God himself.
We at Mission Go pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us think on these verses from the Bible, from the book of Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." Remember to order your copy of the booklet titled "Jesus is Coming Any Day Now," written by Amir Sarfati. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. Questions about this broadcast? Write to Tammy Campbell, Canada's National Bible Hour, member of MGO Broadcast Network. Visit www.missiongo.org or email us at tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.